Podcast. I'm Melissa Waters, and today we're speaking to artist Ryan Aronson about his current exhibition up at the Blue House in Johannesburg called Baby Yellow. Ryan Aronson studied at the Johannesburg Art Foundation in the late 80s and completed a fine art degree at Wits soon after. In 1999, he was awarded the first prize in the Absa Atelier Award. Much later, we collaborated with Ryan in our workshop in 2008 on a series of engravings, etchings, and lino cut works. And in April of 2010, Aronson exhibited with us at the David Crit Workshop Gallery. Around that same period, Ryan created a series of ebooks which surrounded a character called Baby Yellow. An edition of the books was created in physical form as artist books, and all the images in the books were drawn on the iPad. And since then, his work has drawn from this project and the subject matter and surrounded this character of Baby Yellow. I'd like to ask Ryan to please tell us a little bit more about Baby Yellow and the whole project.
Thanks, Melissa, for that introduction. And I think just to maybe start at the beginning a little bit for me to give you an idea of Baby Yellow and where it started. Also, just to say in the beginning that I never do a series of artwork knowing what the artwork means or what's going to come out. It's always through the process and through reflecting back on the work that I understand what I'm doing. It's almost like I don't do art to express myself, I do art really to be informed about myself. And that's what happened with the Baby Yellow project. It was very organic the way it developed. I was very committed to paint and to pencil and to the engraving tools. But in about 2010, after the exhibition that I had at David Crit Workshop, I was feeling like I needed to find a new mark, some new subject, not so much subject matter as much as it was mark, and struggling with that and going to drawing classes and sharing with a psychologist once that I was really, got really, really angry when I drew. And he said something to me that I took very much to heart. He said, "How old do you feel when you draw?" I said, "God, I feel like I'm about 6 years old." And he said, "So why don't you try draw like a six-year-old?" I thought that was interesting that he said that. And at the time, I had a close friend, and she had two boys who were around the age of six. And I had also just got my first iPad because I'm completely technophobic, and I just thought I've got to start returning emails and have a simple way of doing it. But Ollie, Yui, and I were working on this iPad, and we were working on an app called Brushes. And it was an app that I had heard about. It's the app that David Hockney has used over the last many years. He's used that, and I also found the app very intuitive. It's really drawing with your finger. There's no cut and paste, there's no shortcuts. It felt very natural, as much as it was a digital image on iPad, which is sort of the latest technology. It felt like finger painting. It almost, aside from the mess, I was very connected to these drawings, and I carried on playing around with this with the iPad and these drawings through this process of over 100 drawings. A narrative started to develop. I saw characters that were appearing in the drawings, mainly this little boy, Baby Yellow, who wears a Baby Yellow karate suit. There's a little horse, his name's Charlie, and they go on some strange adventures together. So it was in retrospect that I looked at these drawings and saw that there was a narrative and wanted to start finding a way that I could use these drawings. I was very committed to paint and engraving and texture, and I wasn't sure how to get this information or these drawings off the iPad. Around that same time, I was fortunate to go on the Ampersand Residency, which is in New York. The main custodian of that award is Mr. Jack Ginsberg, who's a collector of art and artist books who has influenced me and influenced many of us artists in South Africa and abroad. But Jack having interest and passion and knowledge of artist books made me start thinking about artist books that I would like. I always liked the idea of book binding, and always liked the idea of one day being able to publish a secret novel that becomes a bestseller, but I had never done anything with it. So I started to think, where could artist books work for me? And also at the time that I was in New York, it was a time of digital publishing, of the Kindle and the iPad and e-readers. And I then thought, well, is there a space for artist books? And just for the audience, artist books, just to clarify, not books around about the artist's work, but books made by artists to in some way challenge or deconstruct the concept of the book being this master narrative in our lives and breaking that down in form and function. And I started to think whether artist books had a place in the e-publishing forum. With the advent at the time also of social media and the idea of self-publishing, this idea of being an independent artist that could just publish and make on their own was really seemed to be something that people were finding could be very real. And I wanted to see how far I could actually take it. So I had two projects then. I had the artist books that I wanted to make, and I had the digital books that I wanted to make. The digital books I managed to publish as ebooks on iTunes, only unfortunately Apple, but Apple and I did get a divorce soon after that. I produced the iBooks. They are for sale on the iTunes account, unfortunately only the UK and USA account. So I published those, and that was just an achievement. I got no help from anybody, and I honestly do not know the first thing about technology, and I had to get, listen, there's apps and there's programs, and it was all done very low tech and low budget. But I was able to finally publish the ebooks on the iBook store, and what I was quite proud of was on the iBook store, it's the date of publishing, this Baby Yellow by Ryan Aronson, published on the 6th of November 1970, and that's my birthday, the 6th of November. So it was Baby Yellow's birth out into the world, and Baby Yellow is a six-year-old, and then it was now published on the 6th, and I was very proud of myself for doing that, more so than the quality of the ebooks, just that I actually got it done with an ISBN number, and those are now published. The other thing I wanted to do was to handprint them. I was doing bookbinding. At the time, I learned only with Peter Carstens, who was a phenomenal bookbinder, but I learned basic bookbinding with him. And the main thing was texture. I wanted people to experience reading a book, an iPad book, a digital book, or reading a real book. So I wanted to explore texture and bookmaking, and I experimented with a lot of different papers. I'm no expert at paper, but the paper that I was recommended was a Japanese origami paper. It's made by the origami factory. I've had these works now for about 10 years, and they're still in good condition. There's been no fading on the works. But for every print, I produced the 9 books, each separate volumes, and I produced about 8 to 10 volumes. But for every page that I've printed, I think there's 3 that I've thrown away. It's incredibly costly, not very reliable, and takes a lot of time, home publishing and self-publishing. But I was pleased with how the books looked, and I think that they were a good replica of the artist books, of the e-books, and one really could have an experience of both of them. There was a common thread, and I'm interested in people's experience of the books.
That's really interesting. The books, the actual physical artist books and the digital books have a really interesting relationship, and seeing that printed line, and especially the line from the brushes application, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it reminds us all of our days of working in paint when we were young in primary school and that kind of thing. But seeing it printed on that beautiful paper with that texture is really, really amazing. I wanted to ask you a bit more about the character of Baby Yellow, and after making those books and going through that whole process, what then happened after that, and how did he develop, and where did he go in terms of other art that you made?
The character Baby Yellow has become very meaningful to me. It's funny though, because usually in my work, although each exhibition I've had a specific theme or there's been content that's related to each other, I'm not particularly concerned with content in the work. I use an image that inspires line in my work, that I see an image and I just have to convert it into line or understand why this image is beautiful and how to deconstruct the line. But the actual image then loses value to me or loses the importance. Where Baby Yellow gained in importance, the actual figure of Baby Yellow, it was also perhaps because of a psychologist, and when I do say psychologist, I'm a friend said, how can you tell everyone you're in therapy? And I just to put it out there, one of my main concerns is about mental health and how art making can assist that process. So it's a discussion that I would like to openly have with anybody who's willing to engage. I think this little boy started to become me, some part of me. And it was a part of me that I'm not critical of. In the drawings that I was busy doing, as I started to develop technically, the subject matter also started to get more complex. And before I knew it, there were sexual motifs and there were some scenes happening that were quite bizarre and that I wasn't quite sure. I certainly hadn't been or seen what I had drawn. But it started to become an interesting space to explore my psyche in some way and to have a character that I wasn't critical of, that wasn't about right or wrong or good or bad, but just what is. And he had such a playful feeling to him, and I think that Baby Yellow had such a pure innocence to me that I wanted that part of me. I wanted to discover that part of me. I also had two interesting experiences in New York, just to also explain the subject matter of the book, because it says on the iTunes store that these books certainly are not for adults, and the content is very, very honest, if I may say. I believe it's very honest and vulnerable, but it's certainly for adults. And that had its experience. When I was in New York, I also went to exhibition. I love Japanese prints, as a lot of us do. I went to an exhibition of Shanga prints, which are, wouldn't say it's Japanese Kama Sutra, but it is about sex and the physical act and the emotional act, and goes around. I looked a lot at a book called The Pillow Book. But these Shanga prints that I saw, which were all depicting sexual scenes, and they're also quite bizarre. They're very, very out there. But it was also, I never knew Shanga prints was something all artists did in their career. Every artist would do a series of Shanga prints. I found these images so erotic and so beautiful, and it was the beauty of the objects that gave it a lot of its eroticism or its appeal. And I really respected that. And the Shanga prints were also bound originally. And that's when I started to think, I thought some of these images that I'm working with, I'm too prudish to put them up on the walls. I thought, I like the idea of something more private. And the book was obviously came to mind immediately. I like the privacy of the book. I like the intimacy of the book. I like the fact that the reader has, or the viewer has, a choice to read it or not. I became more comfortable with exploring this kind of imagery and the subject matter because I had a forum in which for it to go. I think if I was thinking about exhibiting it, I would be more self-conscious about what I was portraying. Another really fun thing in New York happened. I was looking for something to do one evening and came across a burlesque performance. I didn't really know anything about burlesque. I went to burlesque evening and I then went for the following 3 weeks. I went to burlesque every night. I thought it was fascinating. It was a genre called neo-burlesque that's a little bit more edgy or challenges traditional burlesque. The feelings around beauty and the feelings around desire are for us so profound, and I don't know how artists choose to incorporate that into their work. Some people don't. I personally am concerned with beauty, and those ideas are really important to me, how I can express that beauty I find in real life in my art. And burlesque, I thought, has found a fabulous way of doing that. They were self-conscious. They were aware of what they were dealing with. They were aware of the humanness. They were aware of the beauty. They were aware of the degradation or the disrespect that can come from the body. But it was all done with a sense of play and a sense of the performer being in control and the viewer having a choice of how engaged or how much they wanted to get involved in the performance. And I've also met some people who were just fabulous, fabulous people. And it was then that I thought, I wonder if Baby Yellow could be a real character. And then I started to think, my original idea was, which I still have in storage, I got a popcorn machine, an old popcorn machine, and I painted the red stripes Baby Yellow, and I put Constantina doors on the sides, and I put my iPad in the actual place where the popcorn's supposed to be made. And I was going to take my baby yellow wagon loaded with all the work around to different people in different places and try and sell my wares and try and sell baby yellow. Also, there was an idea of, I heard that there's at Edinburgh Festival, I heard that there's a man who just uses a chair, has a chair, a table and a glass of water, and I think a little Winnie the Pooh as a prop. And he's a professional Winnie the Pooh storyteller. And I thought, well, I want to tell my own story. I want to tell Baby Yellow's story. And that's how I originally started. I then got an outfit made, and Baby Yellow's come, I guess, from digital into the real space, which has been an interesting journey for me.
Ryan, that's such a wonderful story. I love the idea of the popcorn machine, and that's just brings a wonderful image. And I know that if you Google Baby Yellow and Ryan Aronson, you can come across a wonderful article written in the Mail and Guardian with a wonderful photograph of you dressed up as Baby Yellow. So if any listeners want to see that, then take a look. Bringing it back to your recent exhibition opening, where you came also with your split Baby Yellow and Blue, is it Tai Chi jacket?
Yes.
Moving on to more kind of current times, I believe you are teaching. You do teaching and you still practice art in your spare time. And I'm interested to know where you teach. I know it's an interesting kind of environment for you, and how that's influenced your work and how long you've been doing that for.
The teaching I do teach now. I've been teaching for the last 5 years. I've done bits of teaching before, but they've been more workshops or for short periods of time. With this, I teach every day from 9 till 1, so I've got a structure in my day. I teach people with special needs. I don't really know what the different term is, but it's people with severe physical and intellectual disabilities. And I have the two best jobs in the world of making art and teaching art. Funny, Nabokov said that he's got the two, Vladimir Nabokov said he's got the two most beautiful hobbies. One is writing and the other is collecting butterflies. The students that I teach are my butterflies. I'm very, very committed to their art-making process and what can evolve through an art-making process. We get very caught up in our heads, particularly with modern concepts and modern theoretical concepts in art. It gets very heady. For me, art making has always been about the physical act of grappling with materials and trying to work out how to control this often mushy, uncontrollable substance. And it's through the body experiencing and playing with these different mediums that the artwork is created. But it's based within the body. That's where it comes from. And when people like that I'm teaching have such different physiological makeups that their bodies work in different ways. Some parts of them are in different angles, different directions, different aspects of control, what they can control and what they can't control, and really trying to home in on the person and what is going to best aid their art making process is very challenging and very rewarding, because the people that I teach, I've never met more individualized people. They're not going to all be able to draw or want to draw, color in like the typical person does, but it's about finding their mark and bringing that mark out in their work. Surprisingly, it influenced me more than I thought. There was a period, about a year or two, that I wasn't making art, which was the first time that I hadn't made art. When I did start making art, though, my eye was very sharp or critical, if I may say, and I realized that was from my teaching, from really looking at people's art, often abstract, really intensely. When I came back to my own work, I felt like I could read it better. So that influenced me. The other thing that influenced me was a choice of medium. The more recent works on the Baby Yellow exhibition at David Crutt at the moment is done with coloured pencil crayon. And coloured pencil crayon is the medium of choice of most of the students. I'm new to the world of coloured pencil, and I do know that there's certain challenges with it. More tentative, more shy students put down a mark with pencil, and often you can't see that mark. Where if they were using brush and ink or a felter pen, that little nuance that where they touched the page would show. So I thought, I'm asking people who've never been trained at art, also who have specific challenges to them, I'm asking them to make artworks out of pencil crayons And I don't know if I can make an artwork out of pencil crayons. And I wondered if I could. So I went to the art shop, was flabbergasted by the range of pencils. And I started working with pencil. And that was directly from the students. And I felt connected to them working with pencil. And I still do now. And the other thing that I take from them a little bit, and maybe that's why I feel so connected to Baby Yellow, is just that space of non-judgment. The teaching space for me is a very therapeutic space, in the sense that to make art for me, one has to be very aware of the mind and what the mind is saying to one while one's making the work. And that mind I find often to be very critical. Where the people that I teach, all adults, they're proud of their work. Obviously that comes with a certain amount of limitation, where one is perhaps limited in certain capacity to self-reflect. There is that, but there's also an achievement in getting the body and getting one's situation into an environment where one can then do something new, like an art class in your wheelchair, and make an artwork. I think the whole process gives self-respect and gives a sense of pride. And you do like the image, even if it's not a great image. It's not always due to lack of insight. Teaching is something which I'd like to continue to doing. I wouldn't stop. I mean, I am interested in disability, just to say that. I just find the body is just, somebody with cerebral palsy or Parkinson's immediately makes a different mark, immediately. And it's such a rich source of inspiration or future work, if one can connect with that disabled part of one. I once read somewhere that said, everyone's got disabilities. Some people just haven't discovered theirs yet.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm really pleased that you're doing that, because I'm sure you make an amazing teacher, and I think you've definitely found your calling. That's really interesting as well, about the use of pencil crayon and just the style of the Baby Yellow works. You've always produced very labor-intensive works, but so many of your works still include that very, very labor-intensive and very detailed and intricate work. Even though you would try to draw like a six-year-old, you'd never quite be able to, because you're so technically able in that respect. Your recent works, you've got a few prints up that you did recently in our workshop with our printer Sibongiseni Khulu. Those works also interesting, being kind of drawn from your digital works, but you carved them in lino, and a few of them actually have the carved pixelation edge of each line that makes up the body that you've drawn, which is another very labor-intensive process. But I'd love to just hear about how it felt to be back in the workshop, and sure, how that experience was for you.
I'd love to speak about the printing. The lino cuts on the exhibition are the last work that I have done after the colored pencil work. The plates I actually cut 10 years ago, and I'd never printed them. I was intending to, but it was interesting for me also, the same as I was interested in the ebook in relationship to the real book, I was interested in the digital mark and in the hand and printed mark. Lino cutting for me is when I'm in my element. There's nothing like engraving or cutting for me. It's even though I'm more of a painter by training. And then one of the greatest privileges of being a printmaker in Joburg is to have David Crutt Print Workshop and be invited to spend a day there and produce the prints, because it's just the most fabulous, fabulous workshop. It's just, and everything that intimidates me, like keeping paper clean and surfaces and handprints and things, everything is taken care of by the printmakers at the studio, and I can just make and critique the art and the prints and continue cutting. And I also thought, I like the fact that Baby Yellow hasn't been exhibited before, and being exhibited, and just to recall that it's 10 years later at David Crutt. And there's a part of me that wants to almost say to David, to other people, like, thank you for publishing, because I suck at it. Publishing is complicated. It's a very, very complicated area, and self-publishing leads to its own problems of lack of content or criticality, or I'm not sure. It's just, I would rather be printing and have editions monitored by a print studio who knows what they're doing than to try and do it on my own. I've tried to edition the digital prints to an extent, and even that was challenging to keep tabs on everything. It's been a long journey for Baby Yellow to get into the gallery space, and that wasn't his primary concern at any point in his journey. Now that he's here, Melissa, I must just thank you and the team for how you've set it up and how you've curated it, because it really, for me, feels like I'd like Baby Yellow to feel when he comes into the world. I think it's small and it's intimate, and there's a kind of uniqueness, and there's also a profound parts, but I think there's a lightness and there's some fun and happiness in Baby Yellow's future, and that's been wonderful. So it's been a wonderful experience.
Thanks, Ryan. That's fantastic.